Now, don't expect a really, really good sermon. Like I said, I only got till since 5:45 yesterday to prepare. That being said, I was reminded of one particular episode in my Christian walk. There was once a really, really old preacher, and upon preaching his sermon, I'll give you the full details if you're interested afterwards. He said this one line, and it really touched me. Quoting him, he said, "I know my presentation is weak, but I trust in the Holy Spirit." Let's pray together. So, Father, we come to you, and we pray. And, oh Lord, we pray that your word will indeed speak to each and every one of us. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like a wind and cleanse. Come like fire and burn. Convict, convince, and consecrate us, every one of us, and make us holy, totally yours for your glory. So in Jesus' name we pray. Talk about New Year's resolution. Did you make any? A few fun facts about New Year's resolution. Are you ready for this? Some of these are pretty obvious, but we might not notice. The first one obviously might not be. The first fun fact about New Year's resolution, the tradition began, guess how long ago? The tradition of New Year's resolution began more than 4,000 years ago. It started out way back then in ancient Babylon. I'm not going to actually give you the full details, but it started out 4,000 years ago. Fun fact number two. Studies reveal that fewer than, is very, very interesting here, you know, look at the word, fewer than 10% of people successfully achieve the New Year's resolution. And notice how it says fewer than 10%. Being politically correct. It could be 1%, it could be 2%, it could be 0.5%, but I guess the writer is being very, very nice. Fewer than 10% of people successfully achieved the New Year's resolution. I guess you're all afraid to tell me what's your New Year's resolution now. And number three, what is the hardest resolution to achieve? The answer, quit smoking. So, what are your New Year's resolution? Well, are you afraid, like I said, are you afraid to share with us now? Or maybe you don't even have any at all. See, no resolution, no failure, isn't it? No matter what stage of life you're in right now, the Colossians passage we just read ought to be every person's resolution. And you have heard it read, as God's chosen people, holy in love, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And the last verse in the passage, in my opinion, is the most important. You see, if you study Greco-Roman rhetoric like I do, and it's very similar as how you, our English teacher teaches you to write your essay, you have an introduction, and then you expand on your introduction, and what comes afterwards, your conclusion. The conclusion, in my opinion, without a doubt, is the most important. Whatever you do, sitting here now, leaving, going back to work on Monday, whatever you do in words or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, three important points on this beautiful passage. First of all, this passage ought to be every person's resolution because it is the proper and the only response to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Very early in the book of Colossians, we were told that Jesus Christ, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. And God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to God. The word reconcile is used in here. The word carry the meaning of to restore, to reconcile, therefore, is to restore, to bring back to its original normal form. Did you catch that? Something must be broken. Something must be broken before any form of reconciliation can happen. If nothing is broken, there's no need to reconcile. There's no need to restore. Something must be broken. And don't we know that it is our sin that has separated us from the fellowship with our God? On our sin, the theologian Kaulbach said, shall we call it our pride or our laziness, or shall we call it the deceit of our life? And let us call it once for all the greatest defiance which turn us again and again into the enemies of God and of our fellow men and of our own selves. You see the threefold enemies in here. Our sin not only separates us from God, it actually creates conflict between us and our fellow human beings. And most importantly, we, without a doubt, can be our own worst enemy because of our sin. Sometimes we even deceive ourselves. We are not honest with ourselves or our own true condition. But here comes the supremacies of Christ. Once you were alienated from God, Colossians tells us, once we were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now God has reconciled you, restored, brand new. Christ has restored you, or God has restored you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without any form of blemish and completely free from all accusations. You see, Christ's sacrifice once for all has accomplished all of this. So why can this passage be in all of our resolution again? Because it is our proper and only response. It is our gratitude. It is our proclamation. The supremacy of the Son of God has freed us from all condemnation of sin. And let's move on and remember the facts stated earlier. Fewer than 10%, could be 1, could be 0.5, could be 0.1%, who knows. But fewer than 10% of resolution got achieved. And let's be honest with one another. This Colossian instructions here is not an easy one. You honestly think that it is easy to increase your compassion and your kindness? And you really think that it is easy to make you suddenly a lot more humiliated and increase your humility? And forgiving each other, forgiving those that has hurt us? Are you kidding? It is not easy. Let's be honest with each other. It is not an easy passage to live on. And how about letting the word of Christ dwell in us? Should I say that this is another resolution to fail? Not at all. Because here's my second point. In order to achieve this Colossian passage, in order to achieve this instruction, we have to acknowledge that it is impossible to do so with our own strength. It is impossible to do that with our own strength. And therefore, acknowledging our inability will bring us to the same reality as the Apostle Paul has discovered. In Romans, he said that although I want to do good, evil is just right here with me. He said that in Romans, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. And he continued in agony. What a wretched man that I am, said the Apostle Paul. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death and sin? acknowledging our inability, put us in the reality that it is impossible to do this with our own strength. That being said, acknowledging our inability will bring us to our knees and cause us to pray sincerely, Lord, I know you want me to do this. I know that I should do this, but I cannot do that with my own strength. Please help me. May this be your resolution prayer. And Lord and behold, if we pray this, the Lord will provide. And acknowledging our inability would reveal God's amazing grace. You see, God is not giving us this resolution so we can fail. God does not delight in seeing us fail our resolution. God wants us to call upon Him for strength and provision. God wants us to come to a reality, and God is eager to say to us, so you failed last year, so what? No worry, try again, for my grace is sufficient. Amen? 2 Corinthians, that's what it is written. My grace, God's grace is sufficient, and that will give us the strength and courage to do it again and again. And acknowledging our inability make us appreciate the true function of the church. The true function of the church. Let me here to make one thing very clear here. I am not here to entertain you. Yes, my photo looked kind of cute. But my job is not to entertain you. The reason why the body of Christ, the church, exists is so that we can have a place. Let me actually do this again. The reason why the body of Christ, the church, exists is not so that we can have a place to have a cup of tea and relax. That's not the reason for the body of Christ to exist. The church exists is not so that we can show up occasionally, only in Christmas and Easter time, and sleep through sermons. That's not the reason why this building exists. That's not the reason why people gather. The church exists. God so ordained the church to function and call it the assembly of God's people is so that incapable human being like you and I, yes, I'm pointing a finger at myself as well, incapable people can find companionship to journey life together. Together, we encourage. Together, we remind each other. Together, we hold each other accountable. Together, we count blessings, and we together endure hardship till the day we see our Lord Jesus face to face. This is the reason why the church exists. And never attempt, therefore, to achieve the Colossians' instruction on your own. If you do so, you will only become part of the resolution statistic, the less than 10%. Call upon God. Call upon God, will you? Acknowledge our inability and be reminded, Jesus is Emmanuel. Present tense. It's not just happening in the Christmas time. Jesus is Emmanuel. If you forgot what that means, it means God with us. The Lord is with us as we make up our resolution. The Lord is with us as we read this passage. The Lord is with us as we pray to Him and say, give me strength to do this, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. And you may continue and ask, this is a very lengthy passage with lots and lots of instructions. Where do I start? Do I start with the kindness part? Do I start with the patient part? What about the forgiving things? That's pretty hard. Let me actually leave it to the end till December and we'll figure it out. What about actually dwelling in the riches of the word? May I give you a suggestion? To begin this glorious New Year's Colossians resolution, why not start with the Word? The Word. Yes, your Bible. Do you have one? Here's the next more important question. Are you reading it? And an even more important question, as you read it, do you understand? And that's just the reason why we take pride in teaching our young people in how to read their Bibles. The early church father, Augustine of Hippo, was only interested in getting drunks in parties. He wrote down in his memoir, until he saw a vision from God, and in his vision, a child handed him a Bible and said, "Pick up and read. Pick up and read." He did. And that's what this was, the beginning of how he became an influential figure in the early church. And like I said, we take pride in training our young people on reading the Bible. That's what the Dwell program is about. That's why we want to train them early on, in a young age, how to read it, and how to read it correctly. As you are here for the sermon, the teenagers are in a boardroom now reading passage and learning how to interpret it. And we have lots of programs, Bible studies and etc. to help you as well. That being said, it starts with you. You hold a key to a blessed life. You hold a key to become more godly. Don't let sin take over you. Remember what I said. You, very likely, is your worst enemy, or are your worst enemy. So we'll start with you. Can you acknowledge your inner belly, and you need to learn how to see God more clearly through Scripture? Come to us, and we will find you something. And through the Word, we learn about Jesus' compassion. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. "Go now and leave your life of sin." I could not find any more passages or any passage that has a higher level of compassion than this. We learn from this. And in Philippians, Paul urges us to imitate Christ's humility. Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. We read that. Rather, he made himself nothing. Go study and read this passage slowly, Philippians, and it will speak to you and show you what true humility really is. And divine forgiveness was demonstrated on the cross when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Go and read the gospel passage. You will see this. Do I need to say any more? The Word points us to how God wants us to live. Jesus Christ, His Word, points us. So how to be a better person? Let the Word touch your lives. Let the Word speak to you and motivate you to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, like I said, I only picked up the assignment 5:45 yesterday. And at around 11:55-ish, I was like, I don't know how to end the sermon. I'm going to go to sleep. So this morning, as I was in the car with my wife, I used to actually pastor the Baptist church, and I don't need to actually wear any of these. And I was in the car. I told you that I'm actually going to use this as my story, right, honey? You know, I did warn her. I said, you know what, honey, you know what this reminds me of? You know, I actually mentioned a Chinese phrase to her, which basically means the warrior with his armor. And immediately she said, you don't need that. You don't need that to actually stand up. You never did when you were in Baptist. You don't need that. You know what you need? May the Holy Spirit clothe you. It is not this armor or this robe that makes you a preacher. It is not this armor that people listen to you. It is not this robe that makes people dwell and respond to the word of the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit. So today, as we look at this passage, may the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. It is the Holy Spirit that convinces us that Christ has the supremacy. It is the Holy Spirit that brought us to our knees and prayed that, Lord, I cannot do any of these on my own, with my own strength. I need grace, and may you help us. And it is the Holy Spirit that prompts every one of us and to give us this hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we open our Bible and inquire and seek what God wants us to do. So today, yes, a difficult passage. Yes, it should be in every one of our resolutions. But you are not on your own. May the Holy Spirit, who dwell on each and every believers, give us the strength and the grace. And at the end of the day, at the end of next year maybe, this is not a complete sermon. I want to actually preach this again with you. Have you telling us that by the grace of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, we did it. Amen. Let's pray. So Father, we come to you, we thank you for your word. And may the Holy Spirit dwell among us and let us come to you for strength. We pray. Yes, we know that you're willing. And may you help us. So Father, we also pray today for people that are not well. We pray for Sarah, our worship director. We pray that your grace and your healing will be with her. We also pray for Lori as well as she handles her family matters. May your peace be with her. There are many, a few among us that are sick. We pray for your healing hands. But most importantly, Lord, we pray that each and every one of us, whether listening online or being here with person, they will make commitments for you and to you. Oh Lord, let them experience you. Let them feel your strength and your goodness. And let them be a vessel, an instrument of your peace. So we pray also, Lord, for our community. We pray for our political turmoil in Canada. We do not know what the New Year's will bring, perhaps another election, but we lift up our governments onto your hands. And Lord, speak to all these politicians and let them not only doing this, calling elections for the sake of power, but let them do so for the sake that they are doing it for the good of this country. And may your fear, the fear of the Lord, be with them. And let them feel your presence as they make all these decisions. We pray for the world as well. Oh Lord, we know in places there are wars and conflict going on. We think about a country like Ukraine in Syria. We pray, oh Lord, that you bring a quick end to all of these in Ukraine. We know people have been suffering for so long. We just pray, oh Lord, have mercy on people and children that are suffering. And we pray, O Lord, for all these in Jesus' name. Amen.